episode 50 of the Pipe and Slippers Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and on this special half-century edition, I welcome in Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Yes, we made it. Half-century. It's been a long time coming. And it nearly didn't happen this evening either.
No, it didn't.
Technology. Gremlins.
So are you showing your bat to the balcony?
Only very briefly. You've got to have a subdued celebration for a 50. It's only a job half done.
Good to know.
I hope everyone enjoyed our comeback episode last week. We had a considerable amount of downloads. I was mildly surprised. So.
Did we?
Yeah. Thank you all for listening.
Talk to me. Talk to me about the stats.
They're not as great as in our peak.
We had a peak.
But certainly better than expected. It was certainly more than just our devices downloading. So
that's good to know.
Yeah, a good couple score in there.
What? Wife? Mum?
Yeah.
Grandma?
Two devices each.
Exactly. The dog's phone.
I apologise to all those who are listening to us or used to listen to us via Stitcher. Some people know what that is. And we're seemingly not updating onto there yet, so still working out some reasons of getting it back online on Stitcher.
Oh, those Stitcher viewers must be devastated.
Well, on the iTunes listeners, it's always good. Please rate us, review us. Anything really much appreciated. Give us your feedback. And so you can do that on iTunes. And don't forget, our Twitter handle is @pipe_slippers.
It is.
Getting some housekeeping done early today.
Yeah, well done. And we've been a bit more active on the tweeting recently. So some things have gotten to the sonar. not the radar, because it's wrong.
Yeah, it's that time of year where things just start winding you up, piquing your interest.
Yeah, tropes and things that are just like, again, seriously, this again. It's like it's literally like 12 months on. It's just the same. Insert player X into this storyline. It's just crazy. But should we hit the top story?
Yes, indeed. Since last week's episode. The top story was the Cardinals lost to the team from Texas. No. I'll let you take the lead on the top story.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Cutler wanted Mr. Cutler to play football. I was just been reading. So, Jay Cutler is back out of the booth without ever being in the booth. He is now the starting quarterback of...
Well,
Dolphins.
He wasn't going to come back to sit on the sidelines, he says. No. But apparently it's more the fact that his wife didn't want his glum face around the house. So.
Oh, Jay. Being serious, I like the move. Obviously, there is clearly an issue with Tannehill, and it ultimately is looking like surgery is going to be required. I don't think rest is going to be the answer, because, as you know, medically, an ACL tear doesn't just heal. So, and strengthening exercises clearly hasn't done it, because he surely must have been working that throughout the off-season. So there's a systemic issue there. So it makes sense, because of the familiarity with the system. You know, we're talking about 4 weeks before the start of the year. The Dolphins have, you know, made a few roster moves to at least give themselves a shot of, wild card. I do think that division is sewn up with the Patriots, but, it does give them a glimmer of hope and doesn't essentially reset the season and everyone's in looking forward to 2018. So, good move. Completely understand it. Nice little storyline going into the new year.
Yeah, indeed. The Dolphins were competitive last year, and as good a backup as Moore is, Cutler was the only, that was the only option that Cutler would ever come back for, working with Gase, it seems. And so therefore it's a good fit that it's no real kind of, in a way, slight on Moore, that he's still a good backup. But if you had the option of Cutler, as in the last couple of years, we were actually, I think, both on here being quite positive about Cutler's ability, just disappointed in either the situation or the system that he was in and the
Chicago,
which he was surrounded with.
Yeah, and Chicago's been a bit of a mess, really. Obviously, it didn't end too well with Lovie Smith, and then Trestman came in, which was just an absolute disaster when you considered that they could have had Arians. And then they've got Johnny Fox in now at the moment, which is, he's a solid guy, but he's just, he's, don't know, he's just that guy, and he's just, there's no real spark, and you can completely see why he's got so far with teams. And he's a decent guy to take at a bottom of the, you know, a real sort of struggling roster and build it and make it organised. But again, Cutler's been struggling with that, and I think he does get a bit of a bad rep for being who he is. I think he's now, you know, the media and everyone have portrayed him as a caricature of himself, and that, to be honest, I just can't see him being that bad.
I think the big key with him going in there, and obviously he knows the system, but the change there is in that he needs time in that pocket, and with Albert moving on and then subsequently retiring, Tunsil's got to step up and fill that role on the left side and see how that all fits in this year with those changes.
But that doesn't change
his best chance.
It doesn't change whether that's Tannehill or Cutler behind.
But at least Tannehill had a little bit more athleticism to roll out and use his legs if it did break down. Bit more.
I think, I don't know, maybe, but I do think Cutler is sneaky athletic. I don't know, I don't think you're going to see a huge drop-off. I think you're going to see the Dolphins playing a lot of tight games and a record that could be easily 6-10 as it is 10-6.
Yeah. And should be good for the pass catchers down there, and hopefully Jarvis Landry is available.
Yes.
Just reading the NFL.com headlines, and we'll see another issue potentially.
We'll see how that plays out, because if we get onto that soapbox, then we are not going to finish this podcast. So no. I think we'll move on. Anything else you really want to talk about? I know I've got one thing that I wouldn't mind bringing up.
There was just, we don't really need to touch on it, but obviously we did have some football last week, which is fun to watch. And of course, a trope for you is that Blaine Gabbert, he's the best quarterback in the league, and the Cardinals will be in a good place if Palmer doesn't make it, because Gabbert was on fire.
Yeah, and I think
into those games as much as he wanted.
I think that's positive for the Cardinals to have a backup that they can trust. Gabbert is a backup. That's, you know, I think well established now. But I think the fact that Kindiche showed a bit of promise after disappearing off the radar last year. They need those. Disappearing out the window, as you were about to say, weren't you? But yeah, you know, those are the narratives. It's the guys at the bottom of the roster and the rookies coming in that you really want to see a little bit. But yeah, it's the first game of the season. It's all preparation, isn't it, for the main event? And it means very, very little. I mean, it's all about fitness and ironing out those wrinkles and understanding, you know, the types, you know, maybe trialing a couple of plays and a couple of packages and this and that. I mean, again, the defenses aren't even game planning on a you know, game by game basis. So
yeah, no, it's good. And obviously, full week one of preseason gets underway in 3 days' time. So yes, more of that to come. And
injuries were just a big thing. Don't give me that.
I was like, I always forgot. But I know that this could go on and on as well.
Well, okay, we'll keep it short. But obviously, Forrest Lamp was. Thank you. Forrest Lamp obviously went down for your Los Angeles Chargers. And there was a long snapper for the Ravens, was it? That went down in a non-contact drill Jaguars. And then there's obviously been other various knee injuries. Obviously, Tannehill the most noticeable, and it did question whether the collective bargaining agreement is actually backfiring on these guys. Being away from the facility for such a long period of time, being out of contact with the strength and conditioning coaches, is potentially divisive. Or is it just an avoidable, byproduct of playing a game which is where there's a lot of lateral movement? Or is it simply that the strength and conditioning coaches' methodologies and techniques are clearly out of date and they are literally just going from an off-season where these guys are not doing anything very football-specific, lifting a lot, and then all of a sudden it's boom, full high-intensity lateral movement? Or is it a combination of all three? I thought it was just an interesting debate that you could have, because every single year at the start of training camp, you have high-profile, serious knee injuries. And it has to be more to it than simply the fact that, it's the sport, it's rough and tumble. So I refuse to believe that.
A couple of these so far this year, and even last year as well, with Bridgewater.
Yeah,
they're non-contact. They're just so innocuously looking, and therefore it can't be due to kind of the way they come in and practice, in the sense that it's too hard or tough on them in a contact way. So as you say, it could be a massive issue with their training regimes, that they're not doing enough to prepare for that. There is one school of thought that people are actually getting their muscles generally too strong now, that tendons and ligaments aren't catching up quick enough, and therefore they're almost too strong for their own good at some times.
I see a lot. I mean, my thoughts, and it's highly speculative, but whenever you watch, say, a Hard Knocks or a All or Nothing type series, you see these guys grinding and grinding and grinding away in the gym, and every single lift they do is in one plane of motion. There is nothing that I see where guys, the only people that I ever saw was when I watched a documentary with obviously bits on Brady, and I saw Manning doing stuff with bands where he was lunging back and forth with resistance type bands. Rest of these guys
The guys that aren't actually having to do the real fast agility work, trying to juke players and they're just doing that for moving in the pocket, yet that's actually the type of stuff that the players need to be doing more by the looks of it. But it comes back to your first point about the CBA, the time with the players, regardless of whether it could be that the team's S&C coaches do know what they're doing a lot more, but these guys are going away and spending their time with so-called specialists or training facilities, or doing it by their own and not getting it right, or it's not matching with what then they bring in
until they
switch over with the club. And
there's clearly something. I definitely know that I would want my players to be working on my program throughout the year. You know, they are employed. They're not on 6 month contracts. So whilst the CBA says that they're free to do what they want, you would, as a team and as S&C coach, surely would want some control over that. But I just think it's interesting, and I think it's something to watch, because again, and I come back to the Chip Kelly thing, with the sports science, it was a lot. Maybe they didn't lose him from a football standpoint, but they definitely lost someone that was willing to bring that side of it into a football club. So Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But again, it's sad, especially for the likes of these rookies that are coming in and blowing up their knee, and they haven't even started. You know, Dante Fowler, yes, a couple of years ago. Well, yeah, although he's doing a good job of blowing up his career himself. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that just about covers the goings-on this week that we really want to touch on. In our little outline, we tried to kind of think about hitting over the next few weeks ready for the season. We wanted to quickly touch on every team and give them a little two-minute segment, see if we can fit those in, but keeping them short and sweet. And it turned out in my crazy design that we are going to do it via the compass points each week. And this week we're hitting the north. So that's AFC and NFC teams. Hopefully this will pan out all right, and this will get you up to date with all our thoughts and a few things on every single team. We're going to keep it tight to we originally was 4 minutes per team, then I changed the notes to a 3 minute per team, and now we're looking around 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. 2 minutes is sensible. I do have a life outside of this podcast, contrary to popular opinion.
Yes, the boss needs you back in action.
She does. Why wouldn't she?
Yeah. Opposite to Mrs. Cutler trying to get rid of you.
Yeah. although she is sick of seeing my miserable face around the house.
Any work from home days.
Yes, very much so at the moment.
We're going AFC or NFC first?
Let's go AFC first, and let's start with the prohibitive favourites.
The Cleveland... No.
Steelers.
Steelers.
Started.
Started 2 minutes ago. What do you fancy? What do you like about them?
Offense, isn't it? They are now the on offensive team, having Bryant back, although there was bits and pieces about that he still hasn't been technically cleared, but I'm sure that will be all sorted before the start of the year.
Will it? I'm dubious about that. Very worried for that.
And the other worry on that side of it is there is no Le'Veon Bell in the house, and will they? You know, throw the toys out the pram, much like the Panthers did with Norman, and maybe rescind that offer. I can't see it because he is too important to them. But clearly, you would prefer him in the building as opposed to out of it. I think skewing positively again, you've kept Tomlin around, and stability in any franchise, as we've seen, tends to breed more success. So, again, I think that's really positive. And their defense was coming on at the back end of last year.
Yes.
So, again, they're going to...
Go on.
No, go for it.
Yeah, I was just adding to the defense coming on. The one positive it's really looking forward to from my perspective is Ryan Shazier, really seeing if he can develop into... When you talk about linebackers, that his name pops up in the first few that you talk about. Great playmaker, great speed. See if he can take that to the next level.
Bud Dupree was another one that I'm interested to see this year. So yeah, they're gonna win. You're gonna be hard pressed to say they're not gonna win that division, but they're gonna fall short when it ultimately comes down to it. Browns.
The Browns, the Cleveland Browns. You've got to like what they've done in terms of almost starting from the inside out in rebuilding this year with what they've made moves on their O-line, strengthening that, putting good senior guys involved in there.
Yeah, and retaining talent. So they retained talent in Greco, they kept hold of. And so that's really positive.
And obviously keeping Thomas around as well. So it's good when you can try and build a team by adding all these young playmakers, but if there's not that solidity in the middle, then it's not going to work. And just on a negative side, though, I'm really concerned, after we've mentioned it last week, about the impact of Williams at defensive coordinator. I just see it as a bit of a... it could be a butting of heads type issue. You hope it's not, and it somehow meshes with the personalities there. But
and I also think you need a good cop to clearly hew Hugh's natural tendency to be the bad cop. You feel you almost want a good cop inside of that building. Two bad cops, is that necessarily the way to go? But Williams, I think, hasn't shown himself to really be the right man. I think the record... I think if they can get the 6 wins, massive, massive thing, but they must find out what they have under Sean Kizer. That is a must, because they need to know going into next year's draft what it is they're going to do. Ultimately, I think they're going to go and use those picks, move up the board, and take the franchise quarterback they want. It's just got that feeling.
Bang on the mark again. 2 minutes.
Ravens.
Moving over to Baltimore. Went 500 last year, and there's obviously the concerns over Flacco right now. But more of a concern for me is what's happening around, like, in terms of their injuries have been a nightmare, but therefore at tight end, they've lost Pitter, Gilmore, and they lost Steve Smith from last year. So you've got to ask a lot from some younger guys on the outside. And if Flacco is back and fit, who's going to catch the ball for them?
Yeah, and the problem that you've got is name their blue chip players. They just haven't got anybody at the offensive side of the ball that is really an absolute standout.
Apart from old Tucker, but I guess he's special teams. Offensive side of things. He's their only blue chip guy.
And the running game.
You should see a lot of him this year.
Yeah. But their running game is struggling, and I've got concerns about Marty Morningwag as the OC. I like Greg Roman, but I think bringing him in feels a bit like you are lining up his successor in terms of Morningwag. But they have to get better defensively as well. You know, they have to get back to being tighter. I know John Harbaugh isn't a defensive coach per se, you know, his background was special teams, but the Ravens have always been that stout defensive team with big shot, high flying chunk plays. And I think without that, they're going to potentially struggle this year. I think they will struggle to go 500.
And in the 2 seconds left, we don't have time to discuss the Kaepernick situation.
So, no.
Moving on.
Save that for the Who Knows podcast.
Indeed. So, finally, in the AFC North, we have 2 minutes on the Bengals of Cincinnati.
I was surprised they let Whitworth go. I was also surprised that they brought in Ross as their first-round pick.
Yeah.
I'm also a little bit surprised that they haven't dealt McCarron.
Yeah,
I just think that his value is high enough to be able to tempt somebody in. But I don't know. I think this is going to be the last year for Marvin Lewis. I just don't think that they've got enough. They've let too much go out the door and not brought enough quality in.
Yes, you talk about stability earlier with Tomlin, but stability without progressing is ultimately a bad thing. I think the thing is, we've been looking at, obviously, Cutler's come in and the Dolphins, all off-season quarterback situations come up, and to actually have a backup that you can rely on is a good thing. Yes, it might become a contract situation this year, that this might be the last year to have McCarron around, but it's a great thing to have that type of player and ready to go if Dalton does go down. So it's good they've held on to him, but I guess the big excitement is around whether Joe Mixon can deliver on how he was touted as a talent coming out and how that integrates into their offense. There's a few toys there to play with if they stay healthy on offense.
And let's hope that he rewards the Bengals for giving him that second chance, which, you know, you could go down that rabbit hole of whether he deserves or he doesn't. The fact is, he's now in the NFL, so let's hope he represents that team and that community.
Is the 2 minutes up? But yeah, lots to be excited for on offense there. And
just before we move on, top, what do you see? Team record order. Let's do that.
Wow. Put me on the spot. I thought we were going to do this at the end of these
weeks.
Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Just one little tidbit before that is, interestingly, the AFC North and the NFC North play each other this season on the schedules, and also the North play the South. So AFC North get to play the AFC South, if that means anything for your...
I don't think we need much of a record, because that's going to start. You're going to need to really go into the detail. But what? How do you see that division shaping up? They're
a really strong AFC South. You know, I could easily see this being one of the tightest divisions in football. I can see the Browns improving greatly. I can see the Ravens staying around 500. The Steelers being not as big, well, depends on Bryant in many ways, but the Steelers to edge it, but I could see it being more of a 10-6, 9-7 type leader and a more competitive. But I'd go Steelers, Bengals, maybe the Browns. We'll get Browns third place this year, eh?
Yeah, I'd go Ravens and then Browns, but I do think that the Ravens will struggle to go 500. I think the Bengals have got 8-8 sort of written all over them, and I think the Steelers will ultimately walk away with that division, but will come up short when it matters.
Splendid. Moving over to the NFC North. We shall start. Pick a team. Where do you want to go first?
Lions?
The Detroit Lions. 9-7 last year, 2 minutes on the clock. What do you like about them?
Now, there's a question.
Well, tell me this. I was excited by them when I started to put a few notes together for this thing, and I seemed something to think, well, yeah, their offense was better, and they've had changes in the offensive line, but they've had a couple in, couple out, and I'm like, so maybe it's not ultimately as good. And I've actually, on my notes, put, for the things I like, a question mark. That's what I've come up with. Very informative.
But the problem is it all comes back to Caldwell.
Well, that's what I've got. And
that's the problem, is that you go and think, okay, so quarterback's okay, Jim Van Cooten, the relationship with him, that seems to be blossoming. Head coach. It's just he's very uninspiring. And again, even if they do well enough in the division, they just don't have the firepower moving forward to really cause anybody problems. And it's going to be interesting to see what Stafford does in terms of, does he hold out in terms of contract? Is he going to, you know, give them a little bit of tantrums, I mean, that's, you know, Mike Florio is insistent that he's made his money. If he really wants to bleed them dry, he can do, because he doesn't have the injury to risk in terms of the traditional injury risk is the financial impact of it. But he doesn't. He has, you know, even if he's been relatively smart with his money, he's probably got 30 or 40 million banked in actual cash. So,
yeah.
I think it's more interesting to see how that whole side of it pans out, because I think ultimately the Lions are going to come up short, probably be around about 500.
Just 10 seconds, even though I'm just going over here, just to skew positive. First and second round picks, really good for the defense. Jared Davis, linebacker. Obviously, I think Levy's moved on, but Levy, but Antees, Tabor, cornerback, a couple of nice young additions there on the back end. So some excitement there for the Lions.
Where do you want to go next?
As positive as I've got for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to struggle.
Yeah. Let's go to Johnny Fox's team.
Jeepers creepers.
In Chicago. 3-13 last year. What do I like? They added Josh Sitton, I believe, in the off-season. So what was a good running outfit last year with Howard coming on and some more solidity in the O-line from previous years.
But you've said that, but they're also moving arguably one of the best guards in the league and kicking him out to left tackle, which to me, whilst Long may be talented enough to do it, it just doesn't make any sense.
No. But that can be a positive if it does work and they've got some.
Yes, that's true.
We'll give them the benefit for now and then come back to it when they fail.
Yeah, and Glennon, negative, but Glennon is ultimately going to hold them back as a £15 million a year stopgap. And all we're going to want to know this year is what have they got in Mitch Trubisky? That's all that matters to that franchise. It doesn't even matter to John Fox. It matters to Ryan Pace, because that is ultimately going to decide whether he gets another draft. Is if Trubisky shows something, Pace gets to stick around.
Because the question is, Trubisky, before his final college season last year, there was a lot of talk about how good he could be, but he's too raw, he's too ready. I mean, not ready. He either needed another year in college or he's going to need to take time, but that time is not what Fox has. So as you say, it could be good for the franchise in the long term, but it's probably not good for Fox because he needs to give this kid more time by all accounts. And speaking of time, we're out of time for the Bears. So we shall move on to the Minnesota Vikings, who finished third with a .500 record last year.
So starting positive for me is, and it might sound a bit odd, but Bradford. Yeah. Bradford had a very, very solid year last year. Now, if he can build on that, then I think that it's a good foundation for them to at least get back to that 500 marker and potentially keep Zimmer's job. Because I think it's going to be difficult because obviously there's a clear clubhouse leader in that division, but are the Vikings then capable of claiming four victories against those other teams? You know, that's what the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears are each going to be looking at, is can we knock off those other three and maybe, you know, split with the Packers and potentially then we've got half a chance. But that would be my positive, is building on what Bradford did last year.
Yeah, I mean, he did a good job considering the short time he had to get into that building and get going, and then all the changes with Turner. But he's got a very handy benefit now in Dalvin Cook, who people have talked about. Peterson became a bit of a handcuff to letting their offense be what it could be. Trying to feed him, even though he did miss time last year. But Cook is very dynamic, very explosive, very excited to see what he can do. And then again, actually, another positive is their defense is loaded with playmakers. Every level of it, you've got Rhodes on the outside, you've got Smith at safety, you've got Barr coming linebacker, and then you've got some guys up front in Hunter and guy just signed again this year, which I can't remember the name right now. big guy in the middle. Why is the name escaping me? But super talented defense, so the offense doesn't need to do that much.
Yeah, and I think on the offensive side of it, the fact that they've spent money on that O-line doesn't necessarily mean they've fixed it, because I don't necessarily think they've improved it. But obviously, bringing in Andre Smith at right tackle, they drafted William Beavers in the fourth round. And they've also, you know, still got Alex Boone, who every time he speaks is and opens his mouth, I've got a lot of time for. So whilst they might have not fixed it, the fact that they've tried to improve it is a positive, I think.
Good. We ran over a bit there, but lots of positives there for the Vikings. So
I like Zimmer. I've got a lot of time for Zimmer.
Yeah. Right, moving on to the final team for this week, and the Packers of Green Bay. What do you like most? I mean, there's obvious things to like.
Yeah, it's the same old with them, isn't it? It's a case of, can the defense step up when it needs to? Because the offense isn't going to fire all the time, and I think that's ultimately going to be the question. And secondly, is can they get home field advantage in the playoffs?
Yeah. Well, that's what Rodgers has been talking about. They need to try and get that championship game or divisional rounds up there in Green Bay. Mike Florio talked about it today on PFT about mediocre is not the right word, but I'm putting out the phrase that we like to use over here, which is they flatter to deceive. They always feel like they're going to give so much and then they ultimately fall a bit short and disappoint. And as you say, it's their defense that normally, I mean, this is a massive trope every year. It's the same story.
Yeah, and
Rodgers is there.
And their first three picks this year have been dedicated to the defensive side. So it's one of those. You have to bear in mind with the Packers that they're never going to do free agency in the traditional sense. You know, they have brought in Martavis Bennett. Oh, my Lord.
Cut that out.
Yes, cut. But they brought in Bennett, obviously, which is a good sign. But one of the issues that you have is that they're not going to do, you know, free agency in that traditional sense. So they're not going to just all of a sudden load the defense up with star caliber. You know, going to walk in there and make a huge difference. You've got to hope that the rookies step up, and you know, can we get the old Clay Matthews firing and all of those different things and. Well, it is, isn't it? But it's a massive thing that they need to do, because he was the heart and soul of it.
Well, that was just over the 2 minutes there. But we've rattled through eight teams pretty quickly. Not too bad. So we better just look at the way we think the NFC North will finish. Looking at it last year, I think it's going to be a lot more competitive for me that the Vikings versus the Packers there for the top spot. I can see the Lions falling back. As you know, they had so many close games last year, which they came through on, but there's only so long you can do that. And I don't really expect too much from the Bears with what they're offering at quarterback. And
I think it's very similar to the NFC. The AFC.
Yeah,
in the sense that you've got a team that's in the Bears and the Browns that are at that similar sort of, we're trying to find out what the quarterback is, and we need a decent enough season to show enough to say we're going in the right direction so the current regime can stay around. And then you've got those sort of middling teams which are solid but unspectacular, but a clear runaway leader that you just feels going to come up short when it really matters.
Yeah. Sounds about right. I like it. So that was the North done. think we'll head east next week.
Wow.
Show. You never quite know when it's going to be with us. So next time around, we'll hit the east. We'll go clockwise around the USA. That's about it for this week.
It's been a doozy. Isn't that what they say?
Isn't that something of it? Yeah. We'll work on these Americanisms.
I did say, what did I say the other day? It was a very Americanism on the text. Cuss somebody out. Things. Yeah, too many. Yeah, things. Cuss.
I mean, just to let the listeners in on a thing here, we basically communicate to each other like we're either part of the general manager, the front office, in our speak about contracts and salaries to each other and getting jobs done. And yeah, we just use NFL lingo and chat all the time. But they probably don't use lingo anyway.
No, don't.
There's a rumour I might be venturing to the facility tomorrow.
Really?
Getting back in the old gym. We call it the gym, we'll call it a facility now.
Okay, there's a rumour that I am I'm on the cusp of it.
Love it.
Baby steps. Sure
the upper performance surface of that cusp.
Oh, callback. Yeah. That's for any of you sports psychology nut jobs out there.
Yeah, you don't want to be on that lower performance surface. Catastrophe awaits, I believe.
Oh.
So, on that note, don't forget, he is at Roger M. Kirby on the Twitter. I am at Stephen Rudkin. And this has been the at Pipe _ Slippers, episode 50. We'll see you next time.
Oh, I've been sipping a tea.